Okay, Jesus stilled the storm that threatened his disciples' lives, kept their little boat afloat just a little while longer, but so what? That doesn't mean that he's promised to still every storm that threatens to capsize every other little boat on the Sea of Galilee. All those storms in your life that threaten to capsize your little boat day by day. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he stills your financial storm and you get caught up on your bills. Sometimes the storms never seem to abate. Sometimes he quells, quiets the squalls that ravage your body, restoring your body to full health again. Sometimes the storms never seem to abate. Sometimes he calms the waves that rock your family, restoring unity between mother and father, giving peace to siblings. Sometimes the storm never seems to abate. This gospel reading stands in sharp contrast to the delusion of the prosperity preachers. Life isn't always healthier or wealthier with Jesus. Sometimes things get worse when Jesus gets into the boat. Before Christ steps into the boat with his disciples, the sea and the wind are calm. But when he enters with his disciples, then the storm breaks loose. The world can endure all kinds of preaching except the gospel of Christ. The devil rouses up the winds, that is, his lying spirits, heresies, and sectarians. And although they are divided among themselves and oppose one another, one wind blowing hither, the other thither, and waves tumbling over each other, yet they all unitedly strive to overwhelm the ship of Christ, though they have no cause against him. For he carries on no strife or disturbance, but sits still in the little ship, asleep in the stern. What do you do when the storm surge never seems to lessen? When the cancer progresses? When the tempest rages? When the addiction continues? When the wind destroys? When the unemployment checks stop? When the waves won't relent? When the judge doesn't understand? When the boat is filling with water? When the one you trusted hurts you the most? When all hope seems lost? What do you do when your prayers seem to go unanswered? How do you react when the godless seem to thrive? When those entrusted to the care of the Heavenly Father seem to do much worse, suffer greater trials and persecutions, endure greater hardships and heartbreaks? What do you do when Jesus seems to be asleep in the stern on the steering cushion, at the steering cushion? Even then, pray, Lord, save us. We are perishing. When this seems to happen, that the Lord in times of persecution withdraws from his Christians and seems to act toward them as though he did not see them, yes, as though he had entirely forgotten his church, as though he were asleep and afforded his church no strength, his Christians no power, no peace, nor rest. Know that in your weakness he permits you this anxiety and labor in order that you might realize your entire nothingness and depend on him completely for his mercy and grace and power. Jesus' rebuke to the disciples is perhaps more stinging than the rain, more dangerous than the gales. Why are you so afraid, you little faiths? That's a word Jesus just made up, little faiths. It's not a nice expression, of course. It's more akin to the childish names given to playmates, big nose, fat head, chicken legs. Hey, you little faiths, quit being such cowards. It's a stinging rebuke, but one that's good to hear. What are you so afraid of, little faiths? The disciples' fear seemed genuinely founded on real concerns. The storm could have sunk their boat. They could have died. So what? Fear is not a thing. It exists only in your head. It is only your reaction to an external threat. Jesus rebuked the fear in his disciples because fear is short-sighted and misses the real goal of faith. What are you so afraid of, little faiths? Disease? Pain? Heartbreak? Infidelity? Violence? Suffering? Loss? Hunger? Poverty? Sacrifice? Shortage? Missed opportunity? Death? So? What can any of those things do to you? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but graciously gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for you. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus your Lord. Jesus does care. He sleeps. The incarnate God, the holy God who watches over Israel and who neither slumbers nor sleeps, who became God in human flesh, whose body needs sleep just like yours, cares. He has taken on human flesh, the kind of flesh that sleeps. When it is fatigued after a day of preaching and teaching and a night spent in prayer, God sleeps. God has human flesh. That he sleeps is the proof that he cares. He cares enough to take mankind's flesh fully and completely. He has human flesh so that he can bear humanity's sinfulness and die on the cross in the place of every sinner. A God who sleeps is a God who can die for you. He cares. He's taking a nap. The disciples would grow no longer to fear death. These cowardly little faiths, these men in the boat, would become martyrs. Not flinching from the cross, the sword, the spear, the torch, the knife, the stone, or any other instrument of death. So what? They were willing to give their lives in confession of the faith because death is powerless. Who cares if they die? Their Lord, who died, rose. And he promised them and you resurrection. Death is lame. It has no power over you. Once you can acknowledge that you are not in control, you are free to receive God's gift of faith. He does care. He drowned you in holy baptism, plunged you all the way into the sea of his mercy, put to death your sinful flesh, and joined you into the death and resurrection of Jesus. He does care. He cares enough to have given you new life. Life that endures. Life that is more powerful than anything that could cause you to fear. Having been drowned in the waters and raised from the ocean of holy baptism, what can the turbulent seas of life do to you? Nothing. Jesus does care. His answer to your prayer, Lord, save us, the same prayer, Hosanna, prayed by the crowds lining the way into Jerusalem, is to do just that, to save you. He does. He cares. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in his real body and blood to save you from sin and death. Even when the storms of life rage, and they will, this remains constant. Jesus feeds you with his body and his blood, the very medicine of immortality, to preserve you beyond death, to give you life that cannot be ended by any storm, even the storm, the little sleep of death. Who is this, that wind and wave and bread and wine obey him? Your Lord, your Creator, who has given his life for yours, so that nothing can separate you from his love, neither sin nor death. As certainly as he feeds you with his real body and blood at his altar week after week, he will raise your real body from the corruption of death, free from every storm it has ever weathered, on the day of his return, when the one who slept in the boat will wake you from the sleep of death. Until then, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Lord, save us. We are perishing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.